Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is January 17th, 2023. I am Tanya. It is Tuesday, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Grow Your Own Optimist by Olivia Blake. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "The fastest way to bring more wonderful examples of abundance into your personal experience is to take constant notice of the wonderful things that are already there," by Esther Hicks. So what are we drinking today? I've already taken like two sips. We are drinking Glass Garden Apothecary Period Peace Tea. So yeah, let's see what we're talking about today. We are talking about willow bark, which is in the tea. So willow bark, what is it? What is it for? This comes to us from greenmanmeadows.com. So white willow bark is one of the best natural pain relievers. The original technique used before aspirin became available to the public. Some people still choose to use white willow bark for headaches and fevers even today. This is because of willow's unique chemical composition. Willow bark contains salicylic acid, which is used for acne treatments, headaches, and other anti-inflammatory ailments. Using willow as a part of your herbal apothecary can be done by making teas, infusions, or powdered capsules. Most commonly, willow bark is used to make tea, which is then drank several times a day until pain subsides. So there is a warning. Warning, warning. Remember, we talked about this before. Therapeutic teas, the things work, right? So that means there's going to be warnings or people who shouldn't be using the thing or taking the thing. Don't use willow bark every single day as it can cause nausea or itchiness or allergy-like symptoms. Also, those who are allergic to aspirin should check with the doctor before using willow bark internally or externally in case there is an allergic reaction. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from artnews.com. Fragment of Egyptian goddess found at ancient Spanish site. Yes, I think I heard about this. And it's like a really important one to the Wiccans, I think, too. Let's see. An artifact believed to be used for a depiction of an ancient Egyptian goddess has been discovered at a 27-year-old site in Spain. The ceramic gold leaf fragment was unearthed this summer by archaeologists at the University of Salamanca. It belongs to a group of objects, including alongside amulets, painted ceramics, and other motifs of Egyptian and Mediterranean roots. Uncovered by experts at the site of Cerro de San Vicente in Spain's central region. Researchers believe the inlay fragment is one piece of a larger image of the goddess Hathor, the daughter of Egyptian sun god Ra, and the mother of Horus, a falcon-headed deity in Egyptian mythology. In ancient Egypt, fragments of this type were commonly laid on flat surfaces to construct images of the deity. So this is actually not the one I thought it was. I think they also recently found something to do with Isis, which Isis is a very important god to Wiccans. I don't know if it's all Wiccans or just like Alexandrians. But I do know that goddess is very big to them. The recently discovered piece, measuring at around 5 centimeters, depicts a lower section of the goddess's hair. It was found in a 3-roomed building located on the site alongside other objects, including a shark's tooth, necklace beads, and a clay fragment. A separate artifact depicting the same goddess was found in found in 2021 at the same site. That's pretty cool. I always love when they find those things because I think we have this idea that like in 2023, we've like found all the things worth finding, and this just proves that that's not the case. It's super cool. Okay, so I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, January 17th. The waning crescent moon strategizes in Scorpio today. Here, the moon trines Jupiter. We might be feeling cautiously optimistic, allowing ourselves to see the glass as half full. Jupiter adds some buoyancy to our mood, but the moon in skeptical Scorpio isn't yet ready to commit to Jupiter's jubilance. It's okay to have your doubts. They are natural and what has kept you from harm all this time. However, opportunity knocks but once, and we have to allow ourselves to open the door every now and again. Your daily moon mantra is, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
From the pages of Which Way magazine comes a new collection of stories by longtime fiction contributor Olivie Blake called Grow Your Own Optimist. Featuring a never-before-seen short story, Grow Your Own Optimist is often romantic, occasionally satirical, and always unexpected. These surprising tales of demons, devil's advocates, dystopia, and dating remind us that there is magic to be found in the dark places. Olivie Blake is a New York Times bestselling author of The Atlas Six and several other books, including the Which Way anthology, The Answer You Are Looking For Is Yes, and the novella La Petite Mort. She lives in Los Angeles with her husband, Goblin Prince Toddler, and Rescue Pitbull. Find the new anthology series, Grow Your Own Optimist, by Olivie Blake, wherever books are sold.
All right, so we are back, and we have a question from one of our listeners, Cassie. Cassie says, hi, witches. I'm looking for some goddesses that are not associated with fertility. I'm having trouble finding much online and thought I would check here. Thanks and have a lovely day. It's so funny because I've heard this, right? I've heard that like all goddesses are about like fertility and stuff like that. And while I can see that in practice, I actually don't see that many. So let's see if we can find, for Cassidy, some goddesses that are not associated with fertility. I mean, just off the top of my head, there's like, there's Lilith and Hecate and Kali, but let's see if we can get a good list together. Okay. So this comes to us from invaluable.com. Actually, let's just see what some of our other listeners said first. Artemis and Athena, Kali, Durga. Hecate. Let's see. Kuan Yin. This is from invaluable.com. Let's see. We have Saraswati, which is the Hindu deity associated with knowledge, music, art, and wisdom. She is commonly depicted seated on a white lotus, which is a symbol of light and power. Then we have Hera, a Greek goddess of marriage, life, and love, often referred to as the queen of gods. She is portrayed in art as a matronly woman wearing a polos crown. Her chariot is pulled by peacocks. Seshat, which is an Egyptian goddess of wisdom, writing, and knowledge. Her name literally translates to female scribe. She dons a leopard-skinned robe, which is said to only be worn by pharaohs and priests. That's pretty cool. Diana, probably the most classic of Roman goddesses. There's no one more classic than Diana. That's why we name so many kids it. Roman goddess Diana represents hunting, the moon, and nature. She is depicted in her art wearing a short tunic for agility, with often a dog or deer by her side. Hathor, one of the most famous goddesses of ancient Egypt, is symbolic of many things. Mostly in art, music, joy. There is some motherhood there. She is seen wearing an ankh. Then we have Kuan Yin, the Buddhist goddess of compassion, shown sitting on top of a white lotus as well. Freya, Norse deity, represents love, wealth, and fertility. Okay, so that one's about kids. Portrayed wearing a Viking helmet and carrying a sword. Athena, well-known goddess, represents many things, wisdom, courage, and skill, and the arts, the classical arts in particular. Let's see. Then there's Bridget. I think Bridget is often associated with childbirth, but she's also the goddess of fire, poetry, and healing. Like, I don't want us to get into this thing where we just throw away a goddess because they happen to also look over maybe fertility or childbirth. Like, just like women, they are so much more than, you know, their reproductive parts. And I don't like the idea that we're going to shoo-shoo any goddesses away, you know. Because yeah, goddess of childbirth, but also fire. Hey, I can burn some stuff down. Shakti, who is the most powerful Hindu goddess. She's referred to as the great divine mother. She was used in performing sacrifices. Whoa. Inanna, which is the Sumerian goddess of, love and procreation. Okay, so there's another fertility one. But Inanna also springs off Lilith, who that's the complete opposite. Lilith literally exists because she refused to lay under Adam, you know? So if you want like a badass, Lilith is the one. She was like, I'd rather live with these demons than live with you. And I relate to that so much. Also, I always joke that I'm like the second leading expert in Lilith because Michael is like the leading expert in Lilith. And we don't mean this for all, like in like a, you know, in our world. Because I edited his book and I worked on his book with him, I just feel like by osmosis, I'm like maybe the fifth person in the world who knows so much about Lilith. And I know Michael hates this, but I also love that she's often referred to as the mother of vampires. It's just because I like vampires. So yeah, there's so many amazing goddesses. And there's some badass ones that also just so happen to deal with fertility and childbirth. But like, that's not their primary thing. And they're pretty badass apart from it. All right, witches. Let's see. Okay, so this is a shorter episode, but we're going to wrap it up because last week I feel like was quite a punch. So we are going to go ahead and wrap this up. I do want to give a shout out to listener George Ann, you kind magical fire dragon. Judith, you charming earthy wendigo. Alina Randazzo, Alina, you playful, luminous oracle. And finally, Nicole Lily. Nicole, you glittery, scrumptious starfish. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a card pull today. Our card is the Gateway from the Metaphysical Cannabis Oracle. Many of our spirit guides are the animals that made soul contracts with us. Animals, especially dogs, live in unfiltered joy. This is why they ascend faster than humans. They radiate and integrate with the highest frequencies on the planet. A heart at the center of the card reminds you to live with your heart wide open, like the gates, which along with the small crystal skull sit engulfed in orange flame, sharing the message of grace. A new thought pattern. I remember the divine spark within my mind and spirit. I am always connected. All right, witches. So don't forget, I am doing a Witch of Orleans Joan of Arc tea restock. It was such a hit. It completely sold out. I was super overwhelmed. Like, I'm like mixing batches of tea so fast because I'm like, oh gosh. But now I have to do like a whole ingredient restock. So I am restocking. I'm restocking all of the teas. So you can still grab it if you'd like. And that's it. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources. Anything we've talked about today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we will talk again tomorrow or Thursday.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.